Morning, and it's Mark 10, 2 to 16. You've got it on your sheets, service sheets. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Barbara, thank you so much. I'd like to welcome Chris to speak to us this morning. Chris and I are together on the senior leadership team here at Christchurch. Chris is married to Helena, and he might also tell us a little bit more about himself in a minute. But let's start by praying for Chris. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will speak to each one of us this morning through Chris. Use his words, use his preparation. Open our ears, Lord, to hear what you are saying to us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Can you hear me? No? Okay, I'll just stand here. That's fine. Well, good morning. It's lovely to be with you this morning. I was just chatting to Helena, my wife is just there, a few minutes ago, and she said it was about 3 months since she was last here and she spoke at this gathering, and it's about the same amount of time since I was here as well. So it's really, really lovely to be with you this morning. And so my name is Chris. I'm a part of the senior team here at Christchurch, along with Helena and, as Janet said as well, herself. And we've been here for just over 9 years now in varying different capacities. We have two little ones, but they're not so little anymore. A 10-year-old and a nearly 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. Goodness gracious, time goes fast. And I'll maybe speak about those guys a little bit more later. Now, I want to say by way of introduction, I'll be really honest with you this morning. What I am not going to speak about this morning are the verses on divorce. I am honestly and very openly going to not talk about those of you this morning. I think in the space of 10 minutes, I'm not going to be able to do justice, or it would be wrong for me to try and tackle that in 10 minutes. So what I am going to do is speak to you out the verses, the last three verses in your reading this morning. So if you've got your Bibles with you or you've got your sheets with you, then do grab your scripture, because that's going to be really, really helpful for us this morning. Now, I don't know if you're anything like me. You're probably not, because you're generally probably much better people than I am. But if you're anything like me, when I'm trying to get somewhere, walking along the street, possibly in a car, I tend to be quite, I don't know how to sort of say this, but focused. I want to get to the place that I've determined to get to. If I'm going to the shop, I want to get to the shop. If I'm going to meet someone, I want to meet someone. And I get into a bit of a, you know, a mindset. I need to get to this place. And for me, when someone gets in the way, I can become a little bit frustrated by that. And it can happen in a car, which I'm sure some of you may relate to. It can also happen when I'm just walking along the street. You know, sometimes you bump into someone in the street from a long way away, and you do that strange pavement dance, is what I like to call it. One of you steps one way in the same way, and then you step the other way, and then the other person steps, and you do your little pavement dance, and I just want to get to my place. Sometimes it happens to me when I'm in the supermarket. And actually, this very thing happened to me on Sunday, and I was doing our weekly food shop. And someone was in the aisle with their trolley choosing whatever it is they were choosing, probably yogurt or something like that. And I needed to get my thing, which is in the same place. But this person was taking a very, very long time choosing which yogurt they were going to have. And I just wanted to grab my thing and go because I was focused. Wanted to get there. Now, I am also that person in the shop sometimes because I can spend a long time choosing what I want to get to. But I get frustrated sometimes when people get in the way. Now, my frustration is misplaced. My frustration is absolutely not holy and not what Jesus would want for me. But in this passage, what we get a sense of this morning is a sense of frustration within Jesus, a holy frustration within him about his friends getting in the way, standing in the way. And so I've given this message today the title, Standing in the Way. Standing in the Way. I wanted to read to you again the verses 13 to 16 before we go any further. It says this, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But when the disciples saw them, they rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. It can be really easy to stand in the way of what Jesus might want to do. It could be really easy to get in the way. Sometimes we get in our minds a picture of what we think Jesus might want. We get in our minds an idea of what he might think was good, and actually we sometimes find that we're actually getting in the way of the thing that he might want to do. This is what's happening here in these verses that we've just read. Now, it was common practice at this time in this culture that we're reading about here in the New Testament for mothers to bring their children to a rabbi to be blessed. It was common practice. This is what happened. And this is a bit of what's happening here. People bringing their children to Jesus, the rabbi, to be blessed by God. That's what they were doing in this moment. And as Janet said, just this last Sunday, we did that very thing. We had two children and their families standing before God, bringing their children before God to have them blessed, dedicated, baptized. Amazing moment in the life of our church family. And as we look at these verses together, what we can immediately see is the strength of the language that is used in that opening bit of the verses. The strength of the language and the emotion in it too. So the people are bringing their children towards Jesus to receive a blessing. But what does it say? It says, but the disciples rebuked them. It's a very strong word, that, isn't it? The disciples rebuked them. They said, no, you can't bring your kids before Jesus and have them blessed. Now, Jesus sees what's happening here. He sees what's happening. And when Jesus sees what's going on, what does the Bible say? It said that he was indignant. What a fabulous word. Indignant. Two very strong language words, rebuked and indignant. The disciples rebuked the people, and Jesus was indignant that they did it. Very strong. No doubt the disciples' motivation for this standing in the way was good. No doubt they thought they were doing the right thing. No doubt that they felt that Jesus was way too important to be bothered by these unimportant children that were brought before him. No doubt that they meant well. But in reality, what was happening here in this moment in time was that Jesus' friends were standing in the way. They were in the way. And it provokes a significant reaction from Jesus. His friends were almost like bodyguards, blocking the access to Jesus, standing in the way. What does he say in verses 14 and 15? He says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." Jesus says, don't hinder these little children coming to me. Don't stand in their way. Don't block their path. You need to get out of their way. Do not hinder them coming to me, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. That's what the end of verse 14. Now, in my Bible, in the space of 41 words, I think that's right, certainly in my translation, Jesus addresses the immediate moment of what's happening with these particular children, but he wraps it up into this wider context now. So he says, let these particular children come to me. Let them come to me. Don't hinder them from getting towards me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And then he says, but truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like one of these little children will never enter it. He gives them an immediate thing, and he ties it into a bigger thing in the space of 41 words. Jesus has that amazing way of succinctly teaching and speaking about things that really matter. And this is what he's saying here. What is he saying? Well, you know, as my kids grow up, my two children grow up, as a 9-year-old, nearly 10-year-old, and a 7-year-old, whatever they are, I notice the balance of dependency beginning to shift in our family. I notice that what was once a very dependent environment, these young ones being very, very dependent on Helena and I for everything, is suddenly now becoming a much more independent world. We're living in a very interesting time in our family. There's a little tussle for independence, particularly with our eldest one. It's really interesting. And it's a reminder to me of how, on a human level, growing up, becoming more mature, becoming more independent is a part of the natural order of our world, isn't it? It's what happens. We become independent. We grow up. And yet, in God's kingdom, that continued childlikeness, that continued dependency, that continued trust in God is absolutely key to our ongoing journey of faith. So as we get older, as my kids get older, wherever you are in your own journey of faith today, let us not let go of our childlike trust and dependency on our Father in heaven, who knows us and who loves us, because what Jesus says here is true. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. What he's saying here is, the such as these are the children who have dependency and trust. And as we grow more mature and we get older, it's easy to lose that. But actually, in God's economy, in his kingdom, our continued childlikeness and our dependency and our trust on him is absolutely key to our journey of faith. You know, when Jesus' friends rebukes the people bringing their children to him, what we have to remember is that these people, the disciples, Jesus' friends here, they are so meaningfully linked to Jesus. They're connected to him. People know these people, the disciples, they're with Jesus. People would have known that. They would have understood that. And so in rebuking the people, what the disciples were communicating here is a strong message of disapproval in what the people were doing. And what they were in danger of communicating here was that Jesus was also strongly against and disapproved of these people bringing their children to them. This is one of the reasons why I think Jesus was so indignant with his disciples, why he was so moved by what he saw them doing here, was because they were in danger of communicating that Jesus himself disapproved of this act. And that couldn't be further from the truth. The actions of his friends by standing in the way went completely against the heart and the message of Jesus. They were standing right in the way. And so here in these verses, as is so often true with Jesus, it's not just his words that speak his message, it's his actions that live out his heart and his message. And this is exactly what happens here. And in this moment, what was potentially a message, a strong message of disapproval, became quickly the opposite message. And Jesus gathers the children into his arms. Isn't that just a beautiful picture? I love the way that it speaks. He took the children in his arms. He placed his hands on them and he blesses them. Jesus' heart and his message is total approval of what these people were doing in bringing their children towards him. And his friends just got in the way. It's really easy to determine what we think Jesus might want. And in this moment, his friends, the disciples, they interpreted what they thought Jesus might want. And they got it really wrong. They couldn't have been more wrong. And Jesus teaches them in this moment that his heart is fully approved of these children and the parents who bring them towards him. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these, trusting and dependent. And you might be here this morning and you may feel challenged yourself that maybe you've been standing in the way of people trying to get to Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel that other people have been standing in the way of you getting to Jesus. I don't know. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel that in your grown-upness that you may have lost some of your own dependency and trust in God and your own childlikeness. And I would love now just to pause and to pray for us before Janet comes and she shares communion with us. So why don't we pause and close our eyes and just take a moment to pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for what these three verses communicate about your heart and your message. And Father, we are sorry for when we have or may have stood in the way of people getting towards you, or maybe when we're interpreting things that we think that you might want when we've actually been in the way. We're sorry for when we've done that, and we ask for your forgiveness. And we pray, Father, for any of us in the room this morning who have maybe put down our dependency on you, lost our trust in you, in our grown-up and independent seeking world. We pray now that we would turn back towards you like children, and that we would be dependent upon you and that we would trust more in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.